Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8. The Lord slays the king of the demons. Text number 645. Shri Siddhavacha. Uchu. Uchu. Yo no gatim yoga siddham asadura. Aharshid yoga tapovalena. Nana darpam tam nakar vida dara. Tasmai tubhyam pranata smo nrsingha. Shri Siruchu. Yo no gatim yoga siddham asadur. Aharshid yoga tapovalena. Nana darpam tam nakar vidadara. Tasmai tubhyam pranatak smo nrsingha. Hai tubam pranatas mona singha. Puja ucha. Avita ideya siddham vasadora. Harshida yoga tubo valena. Nana tambam tamidagadada. I am down bright hours in Shri Sita Uchu. The inhabitants of Siddhaloka said, Ya, the person who, Na, are, Gatim, perfection, Yoga Siddham, Chi by mystic yoga. Asadu, the most uncivilized and dishonest. Aharshit, stole away. Yoga of mysticism. Tapa and austerities. Balena, by the power. Nana, darpam. Proud due to wealth, opulence, and strength. Tam, him. Nakai, by the nails. Vidadara, pierced. Tasmai, unto him. Tubhyam, unto you. Pranata, bow down. Sma, we are. Nrsingha, O Lord Nrsingha-dev. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The inhabitants of Siddhaloka prayed, O Lord Nrsingha-dev, because we belong to Siddhaloka, we automatically achieve perfection in all eight kinds of mystic power. Yet Hiranyakashipu was so dishonest that by the strength of his power and austerity, he took away our powers. Thus he became very proud of his mystic strength. Now, because this rogue has been killed by your nails, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. On earth there are many yogis who can exhibit some feeble mystic power by manufacturing pieces of gold-like magic. But the inhabitants of the planet Siddhaloka are actually extremely powerful in mysticism. They can fly from one planet to another without airplanes. This is called Lagima Siddhi. They can actually become very light and fly in the sky. By a severe type of austerity, however, Hiranyakashipu excelled all the inhabitants of Siddhaloka and created disturbances for them. The residents of Siddhaloka were also beaten by the powers of Hiranyakashipu. Now that Hiranyakashipu had been killed by the Lord, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka also felt relieved. The inhabitants of Siddhaloka prayed, O Lord Nrisimha Dev, because we belong to Siddhaloka, we automatically achieve perfection in all eight kinds of mystic power. Yet Hiranyakashipu was so dishonest that by the strength of his power and austerity, he took away our powers. Thus he became very proud of his mystic strength. Now because this rogue has been killed by your nails, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatya De Satarane. As Prabhupada once said, mystic power simply means we don't understand what it is. Therefore we call it mystic. But there's a process of getting mystic power, but it has nothing to do with our becoming any stronger. The material world is being moved by Krishna through his energies. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu dan nena kuntiya jagati parivartite. This material nature is working on in my direction, producing all moving and non-moving beings, and by its rule, this manifestation is created again and annihilated again and again. Or, as it says, anadi dvam nirgunadvat paramatmayam avyam sharira stopikuntiya nakaroti nanalipyate, that those who could actually see with the eyes of knowledge can see that the soul is eternal, transcendental, beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body, or Arjuna, the soul is neither entangled nor is he doing anything. In other words, we're always aloof from whatever is going on in this material world. Whether the material world is going on by the material energy, which we call material, which is the three modes of nature, or it's going on by the internal energy, the spiritual nature, daivi prakriti, when someone is engaged in devotional service. In either case, the soul is not doing anything but desiring. Krishna understands that desire just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. So Krishna understands our desires, and according to how we're desiring, or what level of desire, because desire comes in thinking, feeling, and willing. According to the level, and according to what we've deserved, then Krishna makes an arrangement, either with the material or the spiritual energy. In any case, once we take the credit for what we're doing, that's called Maya. Since we're generally in Maya, therefore we're generally taking the credit for everything we're doing. That's called Prakrite Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvashaha Ahankara Vimudatma Kartaham Iti Manyate. Bewildered by the three modes of material nature, the living entity thinks himself to be the doer of the activities which are actually carried out by the material energy, by the three modes of nature. So we're imagining ourselves to be the doer, and we don't understand that all we're doing is desiring. Of course, what we desire is also not independent, according to what we've done in the past, and according to our particular body that we're in. Therefore, we have a certain desires are stored up within us, and they appear under different circumstances, according to the arrangements of time, kala, and the three modes of material nature. Desire is manifest within us. And either we can dovetail ourselves with those desires, our desires with those desires, they're arising according to our conditioned nature, or we can add something, namely Krishna consciousness. desire may be there, but how to see that desire, how to utilize that desire, that depends upon how Krishna conscious we are. The desire may be there, but that desire at least should be dovetailed or dedicated to the service of Krishna. Then we come under the spiritual energy, and then we won't take the mistaken credit for what we're doing. We'll see that simply I'm dovetailing my desires with Krishna's desires, and therefore I'm becoming free from my ignorance. The ultimate accomplishment in this material world is not to build a bigger skyscraper, become more famous, or stronger, or swifter. The ultimate attainment is to get out of the false ego and realize oneself to be the servant of the servant of Krishna. So the more one becomes the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, then the more one gets out of the material illusion that I am the doer. And that's perfection. That's the highest perfection we can obtain. Because the material world can be considered like a playground or a doll's house. For instance, a little girl has a doll house. Did you ever have a doll house? Did you ever have a doll house, Madhuri? Did you have a little doll house? Yes. Did you, Radha? No. Oh. We can make arrangements. So a little girl has a dollhouse, and in the dollhouse is a little kitchen. But it's all plastic. And they have plastic pots, maybe even plastic chapatis if they're a devotee. But after the preparation of the plastic chapatis, hopefully they're not eaten by anyone. Because it's just a playground. Similarly, this material world is just a playground for the soul. There's nothing really of any significance is going on here. It's just what we're seeing is just an endless changing of the three modes of material nature, and along with that, all the different types of energy that make up the material energy, namely, as the broad categories, namely earth and water and fire and air and ether, along with their mind, intelligence, and false ego. So these are just going on. But in terms of Krishna, it doesn't really matter. You arrange it like this, you may arrange it like that. Or even for the soul, it doesn't matter how much you arrange or what way you arrange in the material energy. They get the same thing. It's just material energy. But if it's utilized in Krishna's service and then Krishna becomes pleased, then he puts us under the spiritual energy. And then our activities become valuable. Just like paper has no real intrinsic value. But if that that paper is put in the form of so-called money and utilized for Krishna's service, then it can have some value. Otherwise, it's just a piece of paper. Similarly, the material world but intrinsically has no value for the soul or for Krishna. But when it's utilized in Krishna's service, then it has some value. Otherwise, it's simply useless. Now, here we find the in Siddhaloka, people have mystic power. But where does the mystic power come from if the soul is neither tangled nor doing anything? One obtains a body with mystic power, or even in this lifetime we can get mystic power, according to how much one is concentrating upon Krishna. Just like Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was a 5-year-old boy. And he went through a severe type of austerity. And that austerity was not to lose weight. Nowadays people go through austerity to lose weight. And he wasn't doing it to, you know, get a better physique or something. He was doing it for some motive, but ultimately his austerity was meant to help him fix his mind upon Krishna. Because the attention can't be in many, if the attention is many places at once, then it's very hard to concentrate the mind in any one place. If one stops eating and sleeping if one stops drinking and breathing, obviously there's a lot of time left over for focusing the mind on Krishna. And by doing so, one becomes dovetailed with Krishna's desires. The more one becomes concentrated on Krishna, then the more one's desires become concentrated on Krishna also. So one attains, one dovetails one's existence with that of Krishna. And the result is that whenever one is doing, as Krishna, an instrument for Krishna. When Dhruva Maharaj, when he was fully meditating in Krishna, when he had stopped his breathing and was just concentrating his mind upon Krishna, then when he pressed the earth down with his foot, the earth caved in, the whole earth. And when he stopped breathing, the whole universe started to suffocate. Now one might wonder how a five-year-old boy, when he stops breathing, the demigods start suffocating. Because it wasn't Dhruva Maharaj who was actually the cause of that. It was Krishna. Just like, for instance, people can run the mile and say, I don't know, what's the world's record for running the kilometers? How many kilometers is it? Must be 100, kilometers, meters, 1,000 meter, 100 meter race. What's the world? We'll say 1 kilometer. What's the, not 1 kilometer, it would probably be 2 or 3 kilometers. Say they can run it in 3 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever it may be. So that's the fastest anyone can go. But I can get into an airplane, not so easily nowadays, but you can get into an airplane, you can run hundreds of miles, hundreds of kilometers an hour. You can have a race. I'm in my airplane, you're running. I'll run 100, we'll have a 100-kilometer race, see who gets there first, my airplane or you. But I'm not going to get the credit for having the world's record, although I'm much faster than you are in my airplane. Now, I haven't become any faster. Matter of fact, I'll probably become slower because I'm simply sitting in an airplane doing nothing. But because I'm dovetailed with the airplane, I become one with the airplane, therefore I can run, I can go so quickly. Similarly, dovetailing one's consciousness with Krishna, one becomes just like Krishna. And by one's desire, then Krishna is actually manifested those powers, those seemingly powers. So he gets the demigods to stop breathing, or he caves the earth in. So it's Krishna's doing it all the time. Matter of fact, whatever's happening, Krishna's doing. But if we're not so concentrated on Krishna, then we're concentrated on some mode of material nature, and that's what becomes manifested, those modes of nature that we're conscious of, that we're concentrating our minds on. And we add a little bit of Krishna consciousness to it, then it becomes spiritualized, but depends on what the balance is, how spiritual it really is. Therefore, in Siddhaloka, when these people went through the austerity to focus their mind upon Krishna, they achieved certain powers, and they would take birth, and they were given a body which is suitable for mystic powers. So when they were born, they didn't have to start concentrating the minds upon Krishna again. It was just natural. They got a body that was suitable, and mind, which is suitable for those mystic powers. But Hiranyakashipu underwent austerity, which was inconceivable. Not eating, sleeping, not breathing, having the ants and other insects eat one's body up, and living in the bones of one's body, that's really austere. Generally speaking, people, if they fast for so long, they get very discouraged. They die from depression. My God, I'm getting so thin. Besides that, I don't know about these ants. They keep on eating me. Maybe I should kill a few of them. Inconceivable. And even after it was all done, we wouldn't know how to live in our bones. We don't even know where our bones are. So it's not possible to duplicate such an austerity. only because he was empowered to do so by Krishna, was able to do it. But we wouldn't be so empowered by Krishna. Therefore, we'd die long before we got to that point. And we'd come back as ghosts for doing such a ridiculous austerity. But there's a special provision given by Krishna to Hiranyakashipu, because he was a doorkeeper, and he had to get certain powers in order to have a decent fight with Lord Nrisimhadev. But we have mystic power, we're just not aware of it. Just like if you cut your finger, then by mystic power it comes and heals. Now we're not healing anything. We can't think, just watch as I heal my hand. Yeah, we can watch, but you're not doing anything. It's Krishna's inconceivable mystic power. But everyone has some of it. Because otherwise, how is our hand heal? The body, Krishna does it. Similarly, living entities are given the intelligence, the human beings are given the intelligence to have so many mystic powers, to go underneath the water, to float on the air, because they can't become bigger than the biggest, but they can build things that are big and or small than the smallest. Certain powers they're not going to achieve so easily, but they have certain powers that, because of their intelligence, they can achieve by some other means. So Krishna, there are many ways of getting these so-called powers, mystic powers, but ultimately they all depend upon Krishna. And if we take credit for them, then we simply get into trouble. Durvasa Muni thought himself very powerful, became envious of Ambarish Maharaj, but he became envious of the wrong person, and he got into a lot of difficulty. Similarly, any yogi, you become envious of anyone, you misuse your power, then you lose them. Like this Vibhushan, what was he? The one for Bhaktivinoda Kaur, who was Vibhishan. Vibhishan? No. Vivacha. Something like that. There was some yogi. Vibhishu or something. He was claiming he was Vishnu. And he had some austerity, some mystic power, but he utilized it to have a rasa dance with other people's wives. And he tried, when Bhaktivinoda Kaur arrested him, he tried to put Bhaktivinoda Thakura and his family into difficulty. But the result is Bhaktivinoda Thakura came and cut his hair off. He lost all his mystic power. His hair, it was all stored in his hair. So maybe you have some mystic power just because we keep our hair short. It doesn't matter. But that was true. All the ladies here would have a lot of mystic power. But somehow or another, there's a process of storing your power in your hair. But when he got his hair shaved, then he lost his mystic power. And then he committed suicide. But I don't think you have to necessarily grow your hair to get the mystic power, but I guess it's a nice place to store it. Therefore, the conclusion is there's a lot of things going on in the material world that we have no idea what it's all about. And the tendency is we get entangled in material activities, trying to compete with each other, become better at something. And indeed, we take credit. We think, now I'm actually making an advancement. We're actually just wasting our time. Instead of finding out who we are, we're simply becoming more absorbed in what we're not. Therefore, one should be wise and understand that the perfection of life is not to get better and better at some material thing, it's to become better and better at Krishna consciousness. And therefore, one will actually get some benefit out of this human form of life. And therefore, we shouldn't be disappointed that we're not in Siddhaloka, we're not in Brahmaloka, or even Indraloka. We should understand that these are things that we can achieve, but ultimately they're not going to help us. The soul, achieve our actual goal, our real benefit in life, which is become conscious of Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Hare Krishna. Because the Panchatattva, they all see they automatically have mystic power, otherwise how can they stand there? Because you never know what happens when the curtains are closed at night, what they're doing, but... Anyone have a question? Yes.
So Maharaj, it says here that Hiranyakashipu was Nepush, because he had this mystic power, he was he was not just for doing this tapas, he was not guilty of something, but because of he misused this power, that's why he was, or what, because Dhruva Maharaj also did.
What's that?
I mean, it says here that Hiranyakashipu was just because he had this mystic power, he was
proud.
Dishonest, it says dishonest, yes.
Well, he stole the mystic powers of others, that's why he was dishonest. Oh. From Siddhaloka. If you have something, I steal it from you, then I'm being dishonest.
Oh.
Not just because he had mystic power, but he misused it. He was envious of everyone. Anyone who had any power, he took it away from him.
Ja, Hiranyakashipu, ja ukradu sam, ja ukradu mističnim učili drugih, zato je bio nepošten.
How this works? Took away.
Well, if I'm more powerful than you, I can do anything. If you have some mystic power, like you can float, and I have more mystic power, I make you heavy.
Oh, you influence them.
Yeah, he did.
Sit down.
No, this is all by influence. But obviously, these personalities, their influence is inconceivable to us. They don't have to consciously think about it all the time. They just have to, willing one time is sufficient to spread the influence everywhere.
Regarding the austerities, which people do, it seems that just by austerities, this principle of performing austerities can even overpower even the most powerful person in the universe, like Brahma.
Well, no. Hiranyakashipu was always subservient to Brahma. He can't become more powerful than the person who gives you the power.
So the result of austerity is granted by someone within this universe, or, I mean, in this case, Lord Brahma.
Ultimately, it's Krishna. Brahma is the instrument.
Sure.
And unless Krishna gave Brahma the power, there wouldn't be any fun being Brahma. Seemingly gave you the power. But actually, Brahma, he's more aware that he's not the doer either. He has certain duties to do because he's Brahma, and he simply dovetails his desire to serve Krishna. Therefore, he becomes Krishna conscious by doing it. Otherwise, he may be Brahma, and if he dovetails his desire as just a false ego to be Brahma, then he's in Maya also.
But Brahma is obliged to give.
Yeah, he has certain.
Even though that. He knew or knows that these austerities will harm whole universe.
He has a duty to do. He has, it's all, there's laws of material nature. They govern everyone in the material world, including Brahma. Even Shiva had to give Vrikasura, empower him, although he knew it wasn't a good idea. But he's obliged to do it. That's how the material world works. You're not like a demigod and you do whatever you want. You're a demigod. You became a demigod because you followed the rules. And you keep. And if you want to stay a demigod, you have to keep on following them.
So if the demons knows the rules or laws of material nature, they can They can control everyone, actually. I mean,
Hiranyakashipu.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right. But they have to have
scary.
But in order to do that, you need some qualification. You just don't do it in one lifetime. And generally speaking, people don't have such a determination like Hiranyakashipu. You know, people get this, people came here to enjoy, and therefore they're not going to go through so much trouble before they try to actually enjoy. And besides that, they don't even know. First of all, people read the Bhagavatam, they're never going to believe what it's said there. And if they do, there's no manual here how to perform the austerity, how to work up to it. Nor can anyone do it, Hiranyakashipu did, because we didn't necessarily fall down as a gatekeeper from Vaikuntha to fight against Krishna. It's not so easy to just imitate.
So where Hiranyakashipu knew what type of austerity should he do? This Krishna gave him intelligence to.
Oh, I don't know. It's not outlined here. But they started out. They were sons of Kasyapa. It looks like they were in the womb for 100 years as a demigod. So obviously they came out, and Krishna must have been telling them. They were born in a body which is capable of doing those things. And Krishna, it was already arranged by Krishna, so he can fight with them. And it was one of the ideas of them coming here in the first place.
Who was guru of Hiranyakashipu?
I'm sure he didn't get second initiation. Couldn't follow the principles. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.